This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
All I ever wanted was a normal life.
My son, the Ten Rings, gave our family legendary power. Show me you are strong enough to carry them.
I'm nothing like you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. We're excited. It's been a big comic book movie week, actually, because yesterday we spoke about The Suicide Squad from DC, of course, and today we're discussing one of, I think, the most anticipated releases from Marvel in a while, and that is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Oh my God, like I am so excited that we're finally going to be able to talk about Shang-Chi because I've been wanting to watch this for so long. The reviews were so good. We got it late, obviously. And you know, when you have such high expectations for something and at the same time you kind of feel like nothing is going to live up to that. And then you go to the cinema and it absolutely does. I left feeling so happy. The last I felt like this about a Marvel film was Black Panther, and that's high praise. For me, this really, in terms of freshness and something feeling just different, Shang-Chi hits all of the marks.
Because the FOMO was so strong. It was like showing in so many parts of the world and people were talking about it and you had to like, you know, ignore social media and all posts about Shang-Chi. It was so, so strong. I love this movie. I like love this movie and everything that it does. But you know what makes me like really happy is the fact that Shang-Chi is at best a D-level character in the Marvel comic books. Bargain bin superhero. And he comes from source material that's stereotypical and borderline kind of racist. So it just watching Marvel Studios and the MCU pluck someone like that and then turn it into like a culture-forward film and sort of to their best extent, right some wrongs, and make this into like a household name. Like Shang-Chi is going to be a household name for like decades after this movie. That just makes me like so happy that we're seeing this. And I will never, after this, whoever they pull out of their arsenal, I'm never going to question it. Like it could be the most obscure person that no one's heard about. You know that Marvel Studios is going to like transform him or her into like a household pop culture phenomenon.
I think that this is maybe top three of my favorite Marvel movies. Like I really, really loved it. And I have been trying to figure out why. I'm not exactly sure why. But before we get to that, I did want to say, let's do the roll call, right? So it is directed by Destin Daniel Cretton. He was also part of writing the screenplay. And it's got a very impressive cast. So Simu Liu stars as Sean/Shang-Chi. And then you've also got Awkwafina as Katie. You've got Tony Leung as Wenwu. And then you've got a bunch of people in roles that I'm not going to say who they are exactly because that could be a spoiler. But it's a very, very impressive cast. And I think that the performances are really, really lovely for the most part. I have to say that I found myself feeling oddly emotional, even in the early stages of the film. So I'm thinking here of there's a sequence on a bus, and this is something that's in the trailer. You will have seen it, and it's like the way that they chop it in the trailer actually makes it look less impressive than it actually is. Because when you watch it in the film, it's a really kinetic and seamless action sequence that is as balletic and great as some top quality martial arts films, right? The way it's shot makes a lot of sense. It's a very legible action scene. And as I was watching it, aside from thinking, oh, this is a good action scene, I found myself feeling unaccountably proud of it. And I couldn't figure out exactly why, but that was just the beginning of me thinking, I really love this film.
I think it's a few things, right? For all of its Marvel pedigree and prestige and lineage, I feel like you could watch this film, have no connection or familiarity with the Marvel or the MCU, and You'd love it. Just because if you like wuxia films or if you like a good action film, this movie has it all. And it looks different, right? The action looks different from the superhero fights that you're used to seeing. It doesn't feel heavily CGI'd. It doesn't feel like too super-powered beings who are just sort of flinging things at each other in the air and you're not quite sure what's happening. Instead, like, the action and the hand-to-hand combat and the martial arts is so beautifully choreographed. It's performed so well. That in itself gives it a very different vibe, a very different vibe from the superhero films that you're used to watching. And then I think on top of that, the fact that we don't actually know very much about Shang-Chi, again, because he's not a very well-known superhero, it allows them to just run with a story and just tell something completely different. It sort of draws on things that you might be familiar with. But again, the way they weave in the story of Tony Leung's character and all of the background. Okay, so I think the easiest way to say this would be origin stories are tough. Origin stories often can feel very weighted and boring and sort of by the book. This one feels like an origin story worth telling.
It's one of their best. Like, I honestly feel it's one of their best origin stories because that's normally the hump you want to get over, right? And you want to get straight into the action. I don't know if this is just me, but did you guys also feel like Shang-Chi is the least captivating or least interesting part of the movie? And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that in comparison, he seems to be like the least captivating, even though I love Simu Liu and I think he did like a fantastic job. This is Tony Leung's film. It's like Tony Leung owns this movie, like in every scene. He is so, so awesome with those rings and the way he moves and the kinetic energy and the kind of just the charisma and the charm that he brings with him, that kind of gravitas. I thought this was completely his thing. So much so that I want to see a prequel with his conquests and battles and stuff because it has its own mythology. But yeah, even so many characters that show up, I don't know how much I can say, but Shang-Chi so happened to be the least interesting for me.
I'm just nodding vehemently every time you say Tony Leung, that like 100%.
So the thing is, right, I'm a huge Tony Leung fan. I mean, going into this, I already was like fully expecting to be drawn to him in the same way that I think we are most times that he's on screen. But he's exceptional. I want to say that the film functions, almost every part of the film functions very well. I think that that's important to say, meaning that the story is well-paced. It takes us from place to place in a way that makes sense. When it introduces new characters, they instantly integrate and the chemistry between everybody is great. And I think all that stuff goes a long way towards creating a film that works in general, but with Tony Leung at its heart. And I think that that is the thing that we're trying to get at, that while it is a Shang-Chi movie, like the name of it is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, the truth is that it's really about Wen Wu and the tragedy of the Ten Rings.
Oh,
in
I love
some
that.
Ways.
I want to watch that film.
Yeah, but that's kind of this film. And it's weird because it manages a neat trick of doing multiple flashbacks. Like, there are flashbacks for Shang-Chi and then there are flashbacks for Wen Wu. And, you know, it's kind of, while it does all that, it still keeps its central narrative moving forward. And I think that that's actually quite a rare thing for a comic book movie and a comic book origins movie to land, because like we said, right, like you're managing a few different narrative threads. So we're going to come back and continue talking about this, but we'd like to hear from you. I mean, have you headed back out to the cinema to watch Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings? I think this one's honestly very worth catching in the cinema. Let us know how you feel. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvind. We are reviewing Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. We just started talking about Tony Leung. Let's continue.
So I wanted to point out, right, that Marvel typically doesn't do great villains other than your huge ones like Ultron and Thanos and so on. For me, Wenwu is up there with Killmonger as the most empathizable, most human villains, villains who could well hold their own against the hero. And in fact, in many ways, are not even really villains. And I think the other thing that I loved about the way the movie treated Wenwu, but also Tony Leung, and you mentioned this earlier, Lynn, about how it could almost be his film. I think this comes from a recognition of his place in cinema, not just in Hollywood cinema. This is his first Hollywood film, but his place in the larger world of cinema that's not Western, and the recognition that you don't take an actor like Tony Leung, put him in a film, and then relegate him to playing second fiddle. So instead, the script, I think, treats him and his role and his performance with a lot of respect. And I feel like that's a weird word to use, but I think it pays off really well in the product, because Simu Liu is great. But I agree with you, Arvind, that I think it's not even that the film downplays him, but it's almost like they recognize the order in which you want to relate to these people.
And I also feel like, I think they do the same thing with the characters in the movie itself. And they're really good at doing, you know, when they make like these culture forward films, like a lot of movies in Hollywood do this thing where that specific culture will start in a place that is low or like downtrodden or whatever. And then the movie will like ascend them to a point by the end of it. They're like, oh, this is our place in the world, or, you know, whatever it is. In both Black Panther and in Shang-Chi, The people that they're talking about, the culture that they're talking about, and the characters are already starting out strong. Like, they have their own mythology, their own backstories. They don't exist in comparison or in the context of the other Avengers. Like, it's completely siloed. And they have their whole history by themselves, right? And I love that the movie did that so well in this. Like, just going back to like Tony Leung, he had like a lot of energy going for him, even coming into this, which is why I said that I would love to see prequels. I would love to see a show. I would love to see something on Disney Plus if they did like a 6-episode, 7-8-episode thing. There's just so much. There's so much mythology that Shang-Chi builds that, like you said, you forget that you're in the MCU, because you could just be in the Shang-Chi universe and have like maybe 3-4 films branch out from here itself.
I want to go back to that idea of culture and in the way it's expressed through wuxia, because there is one sequence in the film in which two characters meet for the first time. And the way it is done is, I think, not typical to... It's not a Hollywood meet-cute, so let's just get that out of the way. But also, the way it's done, I think, respects the lineage of wuxia as not just for fighting, meaning that it is a way of telling a story. It is a genre in and of itself. It comes with its own aesthetics. It comes with its own movements and logics and tropes. And that scene, I think, really set the stage for... You guys are going to get the fighting. You're going to get it right. And they actually carry that through. So up until the bits towards the end where mythical creatures appear and it kind of descends into like lots and lots of CG and water and splashing. but where is the question? Anyway, that whole sequence, I think, feels the closest to Marvel compared to the rest of the film, which... Yeah, I really appreciated the action sequences, because they I think respect where the action type the action style comes from, if you get what I mean. It doesn't just pluck out kung fu and dump in lasers.
And I think it helps, of course, that all of the people doing the martial arts are really good at what they do. I mean, Tony Leung, yes, he's done this before. We have Michelle Yeoh. But you also have Simu Liu, who comes from, he's done martial arts. He used to be a stuntman. And so the film then has the advantage of actually being able to show us them doing these stunts and doing them really well. And I think that adds a lot to the believability of this world that you're in. You mentioned the CG, and I think I just wanted to say, without giving a lot away, I mean, it's Marvel. You're going to get the giant fight at the end that's fully like a spectacle. What I liked about this is that even then, the CG was very tactile. I loved how everything that showed up, everything you see, feels like people really crawling on things or touching things like skin or scales or whatever felt real. And that's a big deal, I think, when you want to get away with this sort of stuff. Because really, with a lot of these big superhero films, when they do the huge blowout at the end, I often feel like I'm starting to check out because I can't feel or see very much.
So for me, I had a slightly different reaction to the action because I liked it. But I felt it was more of like a blur, like they didn't know where to focus and what to catch. And I don't know whether that's because of the size of the screen or what. But a lot of it felt like a blur for me because the camera was moving and they were moving and I could barely understand what was going on. But the movie is also not just action. So for me, I got hooked on to the emotional punch or the emotional core of the film. There were a couple of times when I kind of might have teared up because the movie is pretty heavy. So that was like the selling point for me. I don't know if I would go back and watch the action scene specifically, but there are some pretty like powerful emotional scenes that I'm definitely going to want to check out again.
I so badly want to rewatch this movie. You know, if this were not COVID times, you know, endemic or no, like if this were not COVID times, I would already have booked my second ticket or we would be talking after I'd seen it twice, I think, because leaving the cinema, I just wanted to turn back and watch it again. I did want to bring up a couple of things that we haven't mentioned yet. One being, I don't know about you guys, but in my cinema, and this was again a reason I was glad to be back in the cinema, when Michelle Yeoh shows up, there was a ripple in the audience. And I loved that. And I think that actually speaks to, I feel as if the rest of us Asians around the world, when we get a Hollywood Asian movie, it tends to be the Asian American experience. And that's fine. You have filmmakers telling their stories. That's cool. But it doesn't always come to us as a relatable story in the way that it seems to be for Asian Americans. Shang-Chi is not that. And I think that that's very explicit in A, the multinational cast. They come from all over the place. The fact that it is almost a bilingual movie. There's a lot of this film that takes place in Mandarin. People speak in their own accents. There are conversations about Asian culture that have nothing to do with American or Western Asian culture, just Asian culture. And I think all that stuff felt incredibly relatable and, again, was why I felt weirdly moved throughout the film.
Can I ask you something, Lynn? Like, was the Mandarin accurate? Like, was it natural and organic? Because I'm thinking about something like Life of Pi, and they speak in Tamil. And if you know Tamil, then you know that it's not natural.
Very cringe.
It's very cringe.
The Mandarin is fine. The subtitling is not accurate. So, or rather, it's not inaccurate. It's not truest to the spirit of what's being said. And I did feel that quite keenly whenever there were exchanges, especially emotional exchanges between the characters, because you have Mandarin speakers. I mean, Tony Leung's a native Mandarin speaker anyway. And when you have these exchanges, I was like, that's not right. Half the audience is not getting this. but, you know, that's a very, very small gripe. I also liked how much relationship building there were between the female characters. So they weren't just tokens.
Man, I feel like I've been shortchanged now. I want the real Tony Leung-ness. But you know, what you were saying is exactly what I thought. I kept thinking about Crazy Rich Asians, a film that I wasn't a huge fan of. And my main problem with that was that none of it felt like they were really Asians from our part of the world. They felt like American Asians. And this film doesn't do that. So Simu Liu and Awkwafina are very American, yes, but the film in itself, I think, is very much acknowledging that Asia isn't just Asia as it exists in the West, that there's an actual continent with its own culture and people. And the movie is very respectful and very almost loving of that. And when people speak, they don't say one line in Mandarin and then start speaking in English because it's just easier for the audience. There are full-on conversations that happen just in Mandarin. And I kind of love that that's happening in a Marvel superhero film. Who would have thought we would have gotten here?
And they also take the time to explain why English is a thing, like why the characters speak in English. It's they don't dive deep, but at least it's there. They take the time to explain, right? I want to say, though, I love that Shang-Chi has his own theme. Like, he has his signature music, which is, and it's very memorable. I love superheroes that have their own themes. And also the song by Anderson Park, the credit song, is amazing. So the whole album works like so well. But just that, just every time it kicks in towards the end of it, you get like goosebumps.
Hey, we haven't talked about Awkwafina. And I actually really loved her performance and the character of Katie. Because so she plays Sean's best friend, not realizing that he is in fact Shang-Chi, you know, and she has to kind of deal with the fact that her friend, her lifelong childhood friend, is not who she thought he was. And yet she follows him, and she doesn't follow him in like a lovelorn or notice me kind of fashion. Instead, she's just a really good friend who's dedicated to being by her friend's side through this life-changing event. And she played it really convincingly and really charmingly, I felt.
We don't get enough mixed gender friendships that are just really good friendships on screen, I feel. And this one did it just right. I mean, if you want to read some potential romance at it into it at some point, you can, you know, make of it what you will. But the movie just like presents the relationship so, so well. I loved all of their interactions together.
I've been a fan of Awkwafina for a while, so I loved her in this film. But she could have very easily become the annoying sidekick or the sidekick that steals time away from the actual mission and just like comedic relief, right? I loved her a lot in this movie. I want to quickly ask though, like the questions that the movie poses, and there are questions obviously because MCU, do you want to see them answered in this the Shang-Chi sequel, or do you want to see them answered in other MCU movies? Because they can go both ways, and they have gone both ways in the past.
I'm kind of excited to see Shang-Chi with the other superheroes at the moment. I feel like it could go either way, but I'm now that we've met him in this, I want to see how he works with the others.
Same, and then we get like a Wenwu style thing in like a Loki style thing.
Oh, you know? Yes.
Yes, yep.
That
yep.
should be the next
signing
TV
off
show.
On that, yep.
Yes, please, someone, do with that what you will. Wenwu style thing and a Loki style thing. You get me. You get it. we've been talking today about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which I have to say is really worth going back to the cinema. If you've been waiting for a film to go back for, this one's a good one. Let us know if you've caught it, if you plan to, if you also love Tony Leung, because apparently we're starting a fan club. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. And of course, write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.